The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verses 3 and 4, where the Bible says, "Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that have chosen him to be a soldier." On May the 30th, America will observe, of course, what we call Memorial Day. Of course, as Brother Wislowski read just a few moments ago, the first observance of that was on May the 30th, 1868. It was a time when the graves of those that were wartime soldiers in the Civil War were decorated. Flowers were given, not just to those that have lost a son or lost a daughter, a dad, a brother, a sister, an aunt, an uncle, a grandfather, a grandmother, but it was also a time to be able to come to those graves and be able to decorate those graves. It was a time of decorating in remembrance of those that had given their life to preserve our country and the direction in which our country was going. Can I tell you also, those that have given their lives for the sake of the gospel ought to be recognized and ought not to be forgotten. Those that have gone to foreign lands, those that have laid down their lives for the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, those that have given their lives to give the gospel that perhaps are buried in villages that you do not know, perhaps those that were taken, captured, perhaps those that were slaughtered, perhaps those that are still to this very day in some man's lonely prison, but those that have given themselves for the sake of the gospel. These two type of individuals, those that have died in preserving our country, our nation, and those that have died to preserve the gospel which we love, adore, and spread. These two individuals that represent those two causes have something very much in common that I want to give us this morning. I want us to notice some things about a soldier, whether it be a soldier of the cross or whether it be a soldier of our nation. Something that we could look at this morning to remember the cause of which we stand for and the cause for which they died for. Over to the book of Mark, chapter 8 and verse 34, the Bible says, "And when he had called," the Bible says, "the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Let me give you, if I may please, the characteristics of that which is being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Statement number one, he is a follower. He is a follower. The Bible says that when he called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will not come after me, that's a follower, whosoever will not come after me, take, the Bible says, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. So there's a follower there. There's somebody that is following after. Now, I want you to notice in this particular verse where the Bible says deny himself. All right, so here's a person that is a soldier, that is a follower, that is in self-denial. Other words, it is not their feelings that's the most important. It's not their food that's the most important. It is not their physical well-being that is the most important. It is the cause of which they're following to pursue. It is the cause of which they're standing for. It is the direction in which they're going. And so here's what we understand, that in order to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you and I today being believers, you and I today being saved, then in your neighborhood, you ought to become a good soldier. In your public school, you ought to become a good soldier. At the workplace, you ought to become a good soldier. Down at the college you attend, you ought to become a good soldier. In the community in which you live, you ought to become a good soldier. In the place of your residence, whether it would be in a home that you own or a home that you rent, you ought to become a good soldier. When it's walking down the street, we ought to walk and behave like good soldiers. You say, "Well, preacher, what do you mean?" Well, here's what I mean. We deny ourselves. Maybe somebody else needs help. Maybe somebody else needs encouragement. Maybe somebody else needs a word of leadership. maybe somebody else needs you in their life, where you could deny yourself and put them first and be able to help them, all right? What about the gospel? Denying ourselves, maybe of our pleasures, so that somebody could hear the gospel. Maybe of something that we desire so that somebody could become desirous of understanding Christ, because we give that gospel that is so important that a person understand. So we deny ourselves. He says, let him deny himself. Take up his cross. And by the way, all of us have different types of crosses. Some people bear the cross of cancer today. Others bear the cross of having a weak heart today. Others bear the cross of having a financial reversal today. Others bear the cross of having a loved one that is getting ready to die and facing death. Or maybe you bear the cross of somebody that you remember on Memorial Day that has given their life in that which is the rank of service to protect and to be able to preserve and to be able to put forth our nation first and foremost of all. All right? So what is that? That is a follower. What do? They deny themselves. What do? They take up their cross. You might have some type of sickness as a cross. You may have some type of allergy that's a cross. You may have some type of problem that you're facing on your inwardness that's a cross in your life. All right, so what do? You deny yourself, you take up your cross, and then you follow him. Never let the things in your life become an excuse not to follow Jesus Christ. You always put him first. You always decide that he's the one that's the first one that you look to in your life to be able to follow. And you decide that you'll be a good soldier. A good soldier. How do you become a good soldier? First, you follow him. Statement number two, then you become a fighter. A fighter. You say, oh, I knew I had good reason to fight with my husband or good reason to fight my wife. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about fighting each other. I'm not talking about throwing pots and pans, spitting on each other. So you say bad words about each other. I'm not talking about that. That's not a happy marriage. Hello? That's not a happy marriage. It's not you and your friend getting outside and tussling and rolling around out there when you're both in your 40s and fighting each other out there on the grass. That's not being that good neighbor that you ought to be. All right, now wait a minute. But a fighter, now what is this talking about? Well, a fighter is somebody that's taught to be aggressive when necessary. A fighter is somebody that decides that they're going to keep going when facing the enemy. They protect their honor. They protect their country's honor. Paul said this in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. He said that he fought a good fight. Now, that good fight that Paul talked about was the good fight of faith. What is faith? Somebody gave an acrostics one day trying to describe or give a definition of faith, and they said this. They said, faith is forsaking all, I trust him. Forsaking all, I trust him. Faith is when you're leaning more on God than you're leaning on you. Faith is when you're asking God for leadership instead of you trying to lead you. All right, so be somebody that's a fighter. In the Greek New Testament, you'll see that the word fight simply means this. It simply is suggesting that you're not letting up. You're not letting up. You're not letting up. You decide that you're going to fight against your flesh and come to church. You decide that you're going to fight against your flesh and read your Bible. You decide you're going to fight against your flesh and pray. You decide you're going to fight against your flesh and give tithes and offerings. You decide you're going to fight against your flesh and pass out yourself a gospel tract this week. You decide you're going to fight against your flesh and you're going to do what's right, even though the neighbor doesn't do right, and even though the in-laws and the outlaws do not do right. You decide that you're going to be that one, that you're going to be a fighter. My wife and I had we took a couple of days off. I took off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and we headed over to San Antonio, and we visited the Alamo. We got a hotel there that was at the Hampton Inn, and we parked the truck, and after we parked the truck, we decided, because we both liked to walk, we decided we'd just walk everywhere we went. And so if we're going to go to the Alamo, we're going to walk to the Alamo. If we're going to walk to go to a restaurant, and then we're going to go and we're going to walk to the restaurant. So we just decided we just parked the car and just walk everywhere that we went. And so that's what we did. And so we parked the car, and we just decided we're just going to walk every day to wherever we wanted to go. And so we're walking, and we're learning so much about the battle of the Alamo. and how for 14 days it was under attack. And for 14 days, these few hundred men stood and killed off over 1,000 that was attacking the Alamo. And then later on, of course, there was Sam Houston that found these, the ones that attacked the Alamo, found where they were and cut off the bridge to them, and then went in and within 18 seconds killed the rest of them. And of course, that's how Texas was won. But can I tell you, as we learned about Crockett, and as we learned about Bowie, as we learned about Travis and different ones that were leaders there, colonels that was in the Alamo, and it intrigued me to learn about their lives. Now, by the way, stay with me now, because you see, they've been dead for many years, but they left a legacy. They left something that they stood for. Now, can I ask you, please, this morning, what is it that you're leaving as your legacy? What is the legacy that you're leaving in front of your children? How will your children remember you? What is the legacy that you're leaving with your wife, with your husband, with your grandkids? What is the legacy that people, will they remember you as a faithful soldier of Jesus Christ? Will they remember you as a follower? Will they remember you following Christ until the very last day of your breath? Will they remember you that way? What type of legacy are you laying down as a mom? What type of legacy are you laying down as a dad? What type of, does people look at you and say, well, I tell you what, always reliable, always reliable, always on time, always doing what they're supposed to do, always in there, always serving Christ. Is that the way people view you? Can people set their watch by you by the time that you come to Sunday school? Can people set their watch by you by the time you leave for a Sunday evening service? Can people set their watch by you by the time you sit in a Wednesday night service? Can people look at you and say, boy, that is a devoted Christian. That's a devoted child of God. That is somebody that wants to be in church and learn the Word of God and be able to see what God would have them to be. Do they know you, how you are when it comes time to have the family over? Like for Memorial Day, you know? When you have the family over, do you change? Do you put off Christ or do you keep Christ on? When it comes time for the family to come over for family memorial time and you come to eat, are you ashamed of God or do you say, no, wait a minute, we're getting ready to eat. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. We're going to bow our heads and we're going to pray and we're going to ask God to bless the food and we're going to thank Him for the food. Do you do that or do you put off Christ? When people come to your house and all of a sudden when they come over on Memorial Day weekend, do you say no booze? Hello. No booze. You know, not in my house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do you say we're not going to have booze in the house? What type of stand do you take? Do you say no smoking in the house? What type of stand do you take? Do you say, no, we're not going to watch that type of stuff? Hey, listen, I'm saying this. I'm saying somewhere along the line, somebody in a loving way, in a kind way, in a right way, ought to have some backbone. Somewhere along the line, somebody ought to stand up and say, no, we don't do that because I and my household, we will follow God and my wife will follow God and my children will follow God. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to follow God together. But you said, but you understand, if I take a strong stand like that in some areas in my life, did you know that people might not like me, but there might be people that like you more? Somebody said, if I take a strong stand for Christ, somebody's going to talk about me. They're already talking about you. But it might be they might start saying some nice things about you because after all, now you've adopted clean living. By the way, there's nothing wrong with clean living. Soap and water never hurt anybody. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying he's a follower. Statement number one, he's a fighter. He's a fighter. Now, the Bible says here that we ought to be those that stand for truth. We ought to be those that have a testimony that we fought a good fight. Fought a good fight. And by the way, you don't have to get all of a sudden your dear grandmother comes over and lights up a cigarette and she's standing in the living room. You don't have to grab the fire hydrant hose and hose her down and say, we don't do that here. And you blow her out the front window. You don't have to do that. You could be kind. you could be kind and say, you know, we don't do that in the house now, and so I appreciate you not doing that here. But let your children see you take some type of stand. Amen. Let your children see that you love God some way. Listen, I'm telling you that America is going to hell in a handbasket simply because we have Christians that don't, you know, somebody said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Now, isn't that the fact of the matter? I'm saying, look, just be a genuine Christian. That's all I'm asking you to do. Come tomorrow, Memorial Day, just be a genuine Christian. Hey, be the same type of Christian that you profess to be among other Christians when you come in front of a heathen crowd. Let them know that your God is real. Let them know that God does answer prayer. Let them know that God is the one that's in charge of your life. Let them know that God is the one that can help, and God is the one that can lead, and God is the one that is helping you to become all that you ought to be, and you ought to decide that you are a true follower of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about a soldier. Being a good soldier, he was a follower. Being a good soldier, he was a fighter. Being a good soldier, are you ready? A familiar. He was familiar. You say, what do you mean? Well, first off, he's familiar with his enemy. Familiar. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 11, the Bible says, lest Satan, it says, should get advantage of us. It says, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So what am I supposed to do? I'm not supposed to walk around being ignorant. I'm not supposed, you know, when we were coming up, we set out traps. We had foxes that would get into the hen house. And so we set out traps around the hen houses, around the fence, you know, because they dig in underneath that fence. And I cannot begin to tell you how many of those foxes that we would catch in those traps. Now, by the way, they were not familiar with the devices, and so when they stepped in those things, we'd get them. Did you know you ought to be familiar with the devices that Satan has laid out for you? You ought to be familiar with it. Don't get lured into something that's going to wind up destroying you. Be wise about that. It's not wise for somebody to go into a bar and drink milk. Be wise about some things. You know, if you know that you have a temptation of some type, you know that every time you get in this certain place in your house or a certain place in your neighborhood or around a certain group, you know that this temptation is going to be strong and divisive and it's going to capture you. Well, if you already know that, then common sense tells you not to go there. Common sense tells you you ought not to be in that place. That's common sense. Come on. You're trying to quit smoking, stop buying the cigarettes, that'd help. Hello? I'm talking about common sense stuff. You know, if every time you get around so-and-so, you wind up saying a curse word. Well, don't get around so-and-so so much. Better yet, clean out your mind. Put some good words in there. Amen. Hey, how about getting some Bible words? Put some Bible words in there. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Use some of the words that describes our Savior. Wonderful. You know, get rid of some of the old nasty words that, you know, the words that you used before you got saved. Get them out of your system. You say, preacher, I can't. Every single time I get mad, or every single time something comes up short, I wind up saying a curse word. I wind up saying a slang word, and it's just captivated my mind. Hey, let me give you a solution. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. All right, now wait a minute. Did you know that you can take the word of God, you can hide it in your heart, 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 so much so that you'll be able to think about the right things and not the wrong things. Hey, for you know it, you'll be using Bible terms. You'll be going up to a brother, you'll be going up to a sister, and you'll say, how art thou? How art thou? You'll be praying and saying, oh God, I love thee. Hey, who you hang around is what you're going to pick up. Come on. Now, by the way, that's not necessarily true because we have a different way we talk today. Now, some of the ways that people talk today, I still don't understand. Some people, they talk like they text. Have you found that out?
LOL.
LOL. Somebody comes up and they say, LOL. Well, what in the world is that? Somebody says that's love you lots. Or they say laugh out loud. But since those two are different sections of the world and mean two different things, how do you know what they're saying? You know, I mean, here you had a sad day, and somebody comes up, they say, LOL, laugh out loud. They just laughed at you, and you had a bad day. You know, and hey, listen, did you know it's good to share words that are wholesome words?
Right.
It's good to share. Hey, I'm glad you're here. Don't figure out the idiom for that. Is that what you call it? Idiom? Sounds good, doesn't it? don't figure out the shortcut for that. Acronym. Thank you. God bless you, sir. And all right. But don't figure out the shortcut for that. You know, your parents need to hear you say words. Words. Form sentences. Have conversation. That's a good thing. Look, I love you in the Lord, but don't go home at night, you as a young person, and you got a room in the other part of the house. Don't go walking through the living room saying, good to see you. And go up in your room, wherever it might be, and never come back again. Communicate. Talk. Okay, boy, this is going over like a hunk of lead. Communicate. Talk. Smile when you talk. Hold conversation. You say, but I don't like to talk. Teach yourself. Train yourself. Think about things to talk about. Bring up subject matters. Don't bring up subjects that your kids can say yes and no to. Bring up subjects they have to talk about. How was your day? Yes. They can't do that. You can say, did you have a good day? Yes. No. I don't know. But ask them questions that makes them talk, that gets their brain functioning. Man, we were there in San Antonio, and I wanted to have conversation. And so I asked this one guy something. I said, now, tell me about this, and when did this happen? And he said, okay, I knew I wasn't getting anything out of him. But we got on one of those river boats, you know, that goes around in San Antonio. We got beautiful. And boy, I tell you what, and we got on there early in the morning, as soon as the thing opened, early in the morning. And that's when these guys still have energy and they're not run down. They're going to tell you everything. They're not going to take shortcuts. And we got on there when it was cool in the morning time, my dear wife and I, and we rode that river. And we had this guy. And boy, he was so good. I mean, he was so good. He said, this building was built here and at this time. And let me tell you who came and what they did here and who owned it and who purchased it and what year they purchased it and how this building was built and how this canal became and when we extended the canal and when the boats started coming and when you used to have to paddle the boats down the canal. And boy, he just went in deep. He was so good, he pulled off to the side and let another boat go by. I mean, this guy was just phenomenal, and he was just so good. Now, can I tell you, listen, you be somebody that is familiar. Be familiar with some things and have some communication. Hey, look, tomorrow is Memorial Day. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. If you work in a job that's going to give you the day off, listen, have some family in and have some friends in and talk about the good things that God has done for you and be able to share time together and spoil your parents. And say that because I is one. I said in Sunday school, it's easy to get my kids come over. I just say free food and all show up, amen. Now, can I say this? Look, I'm saying statement number one, he's a follower. Statement number two, he's a fighter. We're talking about a good soldier. Statement number three, he is familiar. Be familiar with those that are the strategies of your enemy. Statement number two, be familiar, if you will, with that which is the skills concerning your weaponry. The skills concerning your weaponry. Oh, isn't something? You have the word of God. Listen to me now. When the devil attacked the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, it is written. Now, this is the very Son of God. He said, it is written. It's written. Now, by the way, if he had to say it is written, then pray tell me how you think that you can overcome temptation apart from the written word of God. This Bible will clean you. This Bible will help you. This Bible will guide you. This Bible will be the one that will protect your mind. This Bible will be the one that will defeat the devil. Listen to it over in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and on. The Bible says, finally, brethren, he says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take on you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. It says that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about, it says, with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto, the Bible says, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hey, he said that the word of God is your strength. The word of God is that which will help you. The word of God is that which will guard you. The word of God is that which will protect you. The word of God is that which is your weapon that you need to become skilled at using. Understand where things are found. Okay, ready? Here we go. Can you say the books of the Bible? I'm talking about in order. Okay, here we go. Can you tell me at least content-wise, at least one thing that each one of those books are about? Can we go farther? Can you tell me where different chapters are found that will be your ammo that you need to draw from in order to be able to produce the weaponry so that when the onslaughts of the wicked one comes against you, you can shoot it down? Are you that skilled? Be skilled in your Bible. Then do this. Walk in the shadow of your friends. Walk in the shadow of your friends. Walk in the shadow of your friend. You know, my pop would walk in the sunshine. Or Paul, the man that raised me for a while, as he would walk in the sunshine, he cast a bigger shadow. You know why? He had a bigger stature than I did. I was just a little run of a kid. And he had a bigger stature. And so when he would walk in the sun and he'd be in front of me, it would cast a big shadow. Now, can I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you would learn to walk in the shadow of the Almighty, if you would learn to walk in the shadow of those that walk before you, that know the Bible and that's living the Bible, can I tell you, listen to me now, you become familiar with that and that will help you. B.H. Carroll was a great theologian. Matter of fact, he was the founder of the Southwest Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. He's a great theologian. But oftentimes, he'd sit around, he'd just wring his hands, especially when he's older. You'd see Mr. Carroll, he'd just be wringing his hands, just be sitting in a lonely chair, just wringing his hands. You get close to him, and they say when you get close to him, you could just hear him weep. He'd just be weeping, wringing his hands. And then he would quote this verse often over in the Song of Solomon. It said this. It said, they made the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. He'd wring his hands. He'd quote that verse and he'd cry. One day somebody went up to Mr. Carroll and said, why is it? Why is it? Why is it? Why are you sitting there all the time? I mean, look, God's used you. I mean, look at this. You established this great university that's turning out back in the day when it was straight as could be, turning out thousands of preachers and people that knew the Bible. And hey, why are you sitting there? Why are you sitting there wringing your hands and crying? Why are you sitting there wringing your hands and crying? And he'd simply quote the verse, they made me the keeper of the vineyards. And it says, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. And he'd wring his hands and tears would come. And he said, though I've been a preacher these many years, I lost my own son. My own son's going to die and burn to hell. Burn in hell. I said, oh, he said, they made me a keeper of the vineyard. But my old vineyard have I not kept. Tears would come. He said, I lost my own son. It's going to burn in hell. Now, wait a minute. Be familiar with your children's needs. Be familiar with your wife's needs. Be familiar with your husband's needs. Hey, be familiar with brothers and sisters' needs inside the church. I'm saying statement number one, be a good soldier, be a follower. Statement number two, be a fighter. Statement number three, be familiar. Let me give you one last thing and I'm done. My time's expired, and that is be faithful. Be faithful. Amen. Now, I love you, but here it is. Watch this. I think in the last days, you listen to me. I think in the last days, more and more people are going to be tempted not to put Jesus Christ first. Right. I think in the last days, you're going to see church attendances dwindle, because more and more people want to follow the flesh. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. It's how I feel. Oh, I'm. By the way, you listen to me. You go to any type of church you want to. Somebody is going to offend you. But that's because you want to be offended. You know, I've never found somebody that didn't want to be offended that ever got offended. Stay with that thought. It's pretty deep. I've never found somebody that did not want to be offended that got offended. Normally, people to get offended are people that's looking for an offense. That's why marriages are in trouble. Well, you know, my husband and I, we're not getting along. My wife and I, we're not. All right, well, stop it and get along. That's not a hard thing. You are in control of you. Well, my wife and I, we're always fussing. We're always fighting. Okay, stop it. Duh. Stop it. Stop it. Well, it's hard. Stop it anyway. Man. See, what you're looking for, you're looking for something magical. You're living in a fairy tale. You're looking for something magical. I just want God to change him. Poop. I just want God to change her. Poop. Yeah, you're not living in a real world. You've been sucking on the honey so much that you're not normal. Now I'm saying this. I'm saying, look, did you know if you want to have a happy marriage, you can have one if you want to. Come on. Do you know if you want to be happy in life, you can be happy in life if you want to. Really depends on all what you want. Listen to me. I love you in the Lord, but watch this. You can be mad at anybody you want to be mad at. Well, I just don't like so-and-so. Look, I've got 3 more minutes. Stay with me. Well, you know, so-and-so, they get under my skin. Well, first off, why'd you invite them to get under your skin? Keep your skin. Looks better on you than them. I'm saying this. I'm saying, listen to me now, be faithful. Be faithful. You realize your hair belongs to God. You realize your skin belongs to God. You realize your ears belong to God. You realize that your lips belong to God. Your eyes belong to God. Your tongue belongs to God. So it sounds like God owns all me. He should. You realize your hands, your feet, your toes, your total body belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, by the way, because of that, if I'm having trouble enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, as taught in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, then I can go to my master and say, I'm having a hard time with this. I'm having a hard time with this. God, you have to help me. God, you have to help me. I've often taught this. You only go to people that have the power to make a change or difference. You only go to people that have the power to make a change or difference. Hello. Okay, watch this. You live in a housing development. We live in a housing development out in Forney. And you live in a housing development like we. And you know what? I can go to the neighbor all I want to. I can go to the neighbor all I want to and say, I don't like that new rule that they put down. I just don't like that new rule they put down. Now, be honest with you, my neighbor can't do a thing about it. Catch where I'm going. Can't do a thing about it. Not one thing about it. Not one thing about it. But I can go to the person that is the president of the housing unit that I live in, the housing development, and say, look, we need to consider changing that rule. Now, by the way, are you listening to me? Now I'm making headway. Because I've gone to the guy in charge. You see? Hello? I just don't like the way that police officer, he made me feel bad when he pulled me over for speeding. And he had the audacity to write me a ticket. Can't believe it. Don't take it out on him. He's just doing his job. Amen. If you don't like it, you got to go to somebody higher than him. That's called a judge. Hello. Okay, you ready? I just don't like, my mom and daddy always getting on to me, always giving me trouble. I just don't like it. It bothers me. Okay, then you got to go to somebody higher than your mom and daddy. Who's that? God. But until God changes them, you smile and obey. You see? See, here's the deal. We could be good soldiers of Jesus Christ if we so want to be, but we have to decide we want to be. Father, bless, we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.